Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies and TV shows out now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy, and we have a new baby bitch. So unfortunately, we are down Aileen today. She has had her beautiful baby boy, Lucas, and Jordana is in meetings all day. Unfortunately, she could not get out of them. But this is still the best of circumstances because I am joined today by someone who I am genuinely such a huge fan of. It makes me so happy to listen to his show. I was listening to you really all summer with Scandoval going on. So let us welcome a very special guest, Danny Pellegrino. Welcome to the pod. Hi.
Thank you for having me. And I have to say congrats to Aileen. I'm so sad I'm not getting to meet the two of them right now or chat with the two of them, but congrats to her. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, I am really so thrilled. Like, I love your show. I think it is so exciting. And you have a book coming out in a little less than a month, right?
Yeah, October 24th. It'll be out. It's called The Jolliest Bunch. Hopefully people pre-order it or buy it when it's out. There'll be an audiobook, all that stuff. And I'm going on tour. But wait, Sammy, I'm interrupting the start of your podcast to just, you mentioned Scandoval, and I'm endlessly fascinated by like where we all stand right now, because they filmed the new season and we're sort of in the off season right now. Are you sort of exhausted about it? Are you excited about it to come? Where do you stand at?
I'm like a little exhausted in the way that, because, okay, I was at Heights Unseen during, you know, March 4th, 5th, 6th. Sure. That was another level. Like, those are levels that we're not going to achieve for possibly decades, like, till we see excitement like that. Like, you thought Don't Worry, Darling was exciting. We were in another realm with Scandoval. So, like, I am not at that high that I once was, but I'm still excited. I'm still interested in what's going to happen. And also, I think that, like, I've rewatched so much Vanderpump Rules, it's actually embarrassing in the past, as I'm sure you have as well.
We all have.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about how Vanderpump Rules as a show, like, maps kind of perfectly onto the public mood and public sentiment. Like, the way that people have perceived Vanderpump Rules at the time that we were watching it, I think is a really interesting lens to kind of, like, examine where people, how they were thinking about gender and sexuality and blaming men and women for different behaviors. And so now I'm really excited to watch it as like a cultural piece, the way that, I mean, it's always been that, but the seeing it now as like, you can learn a lot from the way people perceive the show. So I'm excited to watch more. I'm excited to see how it pans out. And I'm still waiting for something about her. I am holding out hope for a goddamn sandwich.
No, I want a sandwich so bad.
So wait, Danny, tell me just a little more. We're going to do a Bravo State of the Union in a second. Not all of our listeners are Bravo people, but some of them are really diehard Bravo people because we do all pop culture here. So first, I want to hear about your book. I understand it is Family Holiday Stories, and that sounds just very, very deeply entertaining. Can you tell me what we can expect from this?
Yeah, I think it's perfect if you love the holiday season or if you hate the holiday season. I think either way, you'll kind of get something out of it. I do love the holidays, but it's a chaotic time and there's so much craziness that comes along with it. So the book is really, each chapter is a different sort of story. So you can pick it up. It's easy to read. And each chapter is a different story about the holiday season, about getting together with families. And it's not just Christmas, although there's a lot of Christmas stories in there. There's also a Halloween chapter, a Thanksgiving chapter. It's like end of the year holidays, though. And hopefully it'll make people laugh. And, there's some more heartfelt moments, too. But it's really just silly stories. If you like something like maybe like a David Sedaris, or back in the day, there was a Gene Shepard was a writer who the movie The Christmas Story was based on. But it's like an essay collection for the holidays.
I was going to say it's giving David Sedaris, who was, his books were my favorite, like in my early 20s. I feel like I haven't read any of it in a while, but I loved that type of book. And okay. I'm very excited to read it. Sounds like it's going to be very therapeutic if you, you know, are struggling for the holidays, and it's good to laugh. So I'm definitely very excited.
Cozy up by the fire. If you're someone who's alone for the holidays, just read it or enjoy it, or pick it up as you're on the subway and read a chapter. It's fun. And I mentioned David Sedaris. It's sort of my version of David Sedaris. So it's kind of got a millennial perspective. There's tons of pop culture references in there. And
I'm so excited. It sounds like the perfect book. Okay.
Jolliest Bunch. Order it, please.
October 24th. Pre-order it. Pre-orders are very important for authors, and we want to get you on the bestsellers list.
We got to move this thing. I know I feel so gross saying, please, please buy it, and like begging people, but also you got to do what you got to do. So here we are.
Self-promotion is, for me, the worst part of being someone who, the best part is being someone who gets to talk about Bravo and Taylor Swift's dating life for my job. The worst part is that you have to like, talk about how great you think your stuff is.
Yeah, and it really is uncomfortable. And you do so want people to, I mean, either even with the podcast or with anything, it's like you can almost feel it. I think if you're a self-aware person, you can almost feel, you're like, oh, I think somebody's must be rolling their eyes at me asking them to buy this thing. But yeah.
Like, who am I to ask you to buy it? Like, it's here. If you like it, you'll just you'll buy it. You know, I feel it.
People
it's
are
struggling.
It's hard right now, too, because, you know, asking someone to buy a book, it's like printing costs are expensive. So books are more expensive and people have been out of work. I mean, there's been strikes going on. It's like there's a lot going on. So I understand that people might not. And there's a Britney Spears book coming out the same exact day as mine. So I get it. I'm going to be getting that Britney Spears book first and foremost. And then if I have some leftover coins, maybe I'll buy my own and maybe some other people.
You know, that sounds like a great, you know, when you could buy like back in the day, you could buy like two DVDs together. This sounds like Danny and Britney. Home for the holidays. Sure, sure.
There's also a Cher holiday album coming out the same week too. So it's like you could get all the.
Oh my God. You should like.
I feel bad for anyone buying my book because I'm like, there's so much other merch out there, but please also buy this book.
You should do a giveaway of all three. It's like, no, honestly, I really feel you, but I also feel that, you know, you're obviously putting something out that you feel that will make people really, really happy and that you put your whole heart and soul into. So I'm really excited to read it. And I promise, I haven't read it yet, but I do have a feeling just based on, you know, all the content of yours that I do consume that it will be really, really awesome. And you put something out there that will hopefully warm people's hearts.
I love it. I love it, Sammy. I'm going to send you a copy. And now let's get into Bravo.
Thank you.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
All right, Danny, let's talk our favorite topic mutually. Bravo. Time for the Bravo State of the Union. I have to ask. So we started talking about Sandoval. We can get back into him in a bit. Did you watch Ariana on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole episode of Dancing with the Stars, but I did see Ariana's dance. So same, I thought she did fantastic. And she was the last to go, I believe, which is, I think, the sweet spot for Dancing with the Stars. At least that's what my mother told me. It's like the last one is supposed to be the best.
Oh, that's good. I mean, she's definitely the draw for me to watch the show. Mauricio, I still haven't found that clip yet. I'll see it at some point. But I didn't know Dancing with the Stars is 2.5 hours. So I would think
too long.
Too long. ABC is unafraid to take your entire night and say, it's mine. No, but she was so good. And what I couldn't stop thinking about is that there's nothing Tom Sandoval would have wanted to do more than exactly what she did.
Yeah, I think it's like a good opportunity too, because she can show a little bit more personality. And, you know, because in between the dances, they sort of interview them a little bit. And as it stands, we've gotten sort of her perspective from the show and from the reunion. And then it seems like there's been so many brand deals and stuff like that, but not really actually getting so much of her personality. It's been like a lot of branding stuff. And so I hope at least, and again, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, so what the fuck do I know? But I hope that she's able to kind of show other sides of her too.
Are you saturated on Scandoval? Sandoval, where are you with that?
I was. I mean, I think I'm feeling better about it now. I was oversaturated. I mean, during that time, we were all on the front lines. I felt like I was recording podcast episodes. I was still doing the same amount I normally do, but they were so charged, and it was like insanity. And there was so much to consume because it was like the show, and then it was all the podcast interviews that the cast was doing and the interviews on blogs, and it was so much. So I did feel exhausted, and I've had a break, and I don't know if I'm quite as excited for the new season to return because it was so much. And I'll be honest with you, Sammy, I'm even more exhausted. You mentioned Mauricio. I'm way more exhausted by the Kyle and Mauricio of it all, because I feel like they're trying to have a little Scandoval moment. And maybe this is me being super cynical or something, but their relationship is playing out on so many different forms of media, because I mentioned here, I just mentioned I didn't watch the whole episode of Dancing with the Stars, but I did see like a clip or a still frame of Kyle in the audience for Mauricio. And I feel like they've been teasing. She was showing her hands, and she's done that in a million press opportunities to like show that she's not wearing the ring, or she's, and I'm just exhausted by it, Sammy. And so that, even more so than Scandoval, I'm like stressed about the new season of Beverly Hills. I feel like that's the whole season's going to be about that, and I'm over it.
I completely agree with you on that entirely. And the reason that I'm actually more exhausted by them is because you never feel like you're getting the truth. It's always right. Like a cover up of, or a glossing over. It's like putting the Paris filter 3 times on their entire life constantly. And at least with Scandoval, so much was happening, but it was like actually happening. They were actual comments, frank realizations by what the cast members were saying. With Kyle and Mauricio and with Beverly Hills generally, it's always like you're watching them play 3D chess while they're, yeah. And it's really frustrating because you want to just like scream, like, can you be real? Be open and honest.
And at least with Scandoval, it was sort of playing out in real time. But I think the issue with Beverly Hills is there's so much time in between all of this stuff when the rumor started and when we're actually going to see everything. And I think they're playing it all wrong. I mean, Kyle and Mauricio are also, I have to say, they're savvy in PR because they've been doing this forever. They've both been on hugely successful. He's got a successful Netflix show now. And like, so they know what they're doing. And so I feel like they're just playing it all wrong. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I feel like it's being played all wrong. And I feel like I keep hearing them say, like, we want privacy. This is so hard to go through the public eye. But then it's like, well, then why are you in the audience at Dancing with the Stars? Like, and of course, yeah, maybe the audience would then, if she wasn't there, say, why didn't Kyle show up? But it just feels like they're leaning into it so much. And then saying like, oh my God, I can't believe everyone's talking. This is so hard. Everyone's talking about, and the rumors about Morgan Wade aren't true. But then Kyle's appearing in the video, and it's like, well, do you want us to talk about it or not? Like,
right. And they're in Paris together. And there was something that I noted was there was like a blind item about Kyle and Morgan being in Paris for Morgan's show. And then once that came out, they started posting that they were in Paris. What is your take on the relationship situation of it all? And why do you think, I mean, clearly something is happening. Why do you think they can't just be open or just frank about it?
Because they're saving it for their shows. I think 100%. I think he's got a second season. I don't think his first season of that show on Netflix was like hugely successful. I think it was mildly successful. Yeah. I mean, people weren't really talking about it. I'm sure the Netflix numbers might have been okay, but I don't think culturally within reality TV experience or
correct. Sounded weird. Exactly. Experience. I know what
people
you
aren't
mean.
Really weren't discussing it. And so I think he knew they needed a big splash for that show. Beverly Hills lost Rinna. They need something for that show. Like, I think they're trying to tease it out to have something for their shows. And maybe that's me being completely cynical and I could be totally wrong, but the cynical part of me is like, this is all for press and it's exhausting. And I think they're not even doing a good job of it because we're all exhausted by it. And yeah.
So you think you're cynical. I think I'm even more cynical than that. I'm like, I think they're not teasing it out. I don't think they're ever going to reveal is my fear, is that they're just going to keep covering and covering. And they're never going to. Kyle's my prediction is that Kyle and Mauricio are always going to say, you know, we're going through a hard time. We love each other very much. Our family's our first priority. It would be too expensive to divorce and stupid to do so. They're not going to say that part, but true, fair enough. And I also think that Kyle doesn't want to admit that she's in this relationship or anything with Morgan.
Right. And I actually think the upcoming season, what the whole thing will end up being is like Kyle being like, I think I have an attraction to her. I might be attracted to this person, and her trying to like figure it out. Like, that's where I think it's going to go, at least on the show. I don't know what'll happen outside of the show, but that's kind of my prediction, is Kyle struggling with trying to figure it all out and whether or not she wants to stay with Mauricio. And then, I don't know, ultimately, I think they'll stay together and it'll be over with. But I think they're kind of dragging it out so that it can play out on these shows. But there's such a long lead time in between seasons and stuff.
Right. Do you think she actually will be open about Morgan? I could see her just being like, we're friends.
I think she'll say, we're friends. And I think she'll tease more and be like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm kind of figuring it out.
I could see that. But I really do feel that if she were just like, I think I'm bisexual, everyone would just be like, yeah, that is evident and good for you for saying it.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone will care. I mean, Taylor Armstrong just came out as bisexual on Orange County Housewives, and it was like, okay.
Right. It's just like, also, I'm sure many more people are that, you know, they're not, they've never said it, but whatever.
The Kinsey scale. Everyone's sort of on the Kinsey scale, right?
Right. And I think it's just maybe people are having new opportunities that are leading them to realize it.
New opportunities that are great promotion for their shows.
Yeah, exactly. And their music videos.
Wait, the other thing too that I just have to point out, Sammy, is with the Morgan thing, I think what turned me so cynical about everyone involved in that is that Kyle and her were doing like these Amazon Lives where they're selling product, and they were doing them together. And that leads me to believe it's like you're either sharing management, PR, or someone, because you're not just booked on that. Amazon Live isn't just sort of guessing that you guys are together or something. Like, somebody is organizing that together. So it's either Kyle's PR person who she must share with Morgan, or it's a manager that is like, oh, bring Morgan on. Or there's
how long they're have working they been together doing this? A lot. How long
is it's been a couple. They've done it a couple times, I think. I know at right. least once I've seen it.
Well, it seems like they've been friends for a bit. I don't know how they met, but it did seem like for at least a year, Morgan has been appearing in her photos, like her genuine, actual life photos. That's the other thing about Kyle. She posts her life. So Morgan was coming in.
But the other thing with that, not to go back to the Amazon Live thing, but it's like that is a paid thing. Look at Lala and Sheena are friends. You don't see them doing the Amazon Live together because it gets messy with contracts and everything.
Right. So just do separate ones.
There's something's afoot there, Sammy. Something's
afoot. Mark this time, because it's gonna come out.
Yeah, there's some trails that we gotta follow.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
So, okay, what else are you watching on Bravo? Are you watching Salt Lake City? Because...
my favorite show.
Oh, okay, good, good. Let's talk about Salt Lake City. It has achieved peak camp.
Totally.
What the fuck went on?
It's so good. What the fuck is right? I mean, what the fuck is right? Every one of those cast members is crazy. I used to say Roni had like this chaotic energy. I used to call it like Roni Whiplash because it was like they would fight and circle through fights so quickly and so much was happening that you almost like you really had to sit and pay attention because it was moving so fast at the audience.
Very New York.
And that's what's happening on Salt Lake City is doing that now where it's like we're story. There's so many layers and everyone's fighting and it's crazy. And if you look at it, I don't know. I think people who like to watch sort of the behind the scenes mechanics of Housewives, I think like Salt Lake City a lot because you could kind of see a lot at play there and you could see these women navigating what it means to be a real housewife. And more so, I think, than some of the other franchises. But I just find it so funny. The drama's hilarious, ridiculous. And also just, you can't predict as much. Like, we talked about Beverly Hills, and that can feel sometimes so predictable. You almost know how the season's going to play out. I feel like I know what the trailer's going to be for Beverly Hills with the Kyle and Mauricio stuff. But with Salt Lake City, it can be very unpredictable. It's like, I don't know if Meredith and Lisa are going to end the season as friends or hating each other. Like, I don't know if Mary is, what's going to happen with her, if she's going to continue filming. She obviously don't want to be there, but I love it that she's just like this Greek chorus on a bus. I love it.
I totally agree with you. It is the least predictable of the shows, and I don't know what it is. It might be that so the women are not only not friends, but there's like active tension between almost every single one of them in every combination, and there's like a little bit of a history, but a history with people who you like knew of when you were younger
Co-workers.
But didn't know or just like you knew of someone but it wasn't trending in a positive way, it was trending in like a kind of way. And I don't know, Lisa Barlow was a hero. And now what is it? Do you think this went to her head? Like what? I understand maybe she's self-conscious about her skin or her makeup. I hear that. But the things she was saying about, I'm in head to toe couture.
Crying.
Yeah, like it went just so off the rails and like she wasn't drunk. So what was going on there?
Yeah, you know, here's my thing with Lisa Barlow of why I love her and think she's an all-star, even though I do agree. I think she's kind of lost the plot with, and maybe is out of touch when it comes to financial stuff. But
a
what
little.
I love about Lisa, I know, very, but I love, she does sort of own that. And so when she was in the confessional being like, well, when Monica makes that money, she can have that, or just kind of these things that are very out of touch and horrible to say, but it's like, at least she's owning it in a way instead of trying to pretend like she doesn't care about the glam. Like, I love that she is crying to the producer and saying like, no, I need my glam person. And I at least feel like she's owning it. And people overuse that term, owning it. But it's like, at least Lisa is being honest and upfront about the person that she is. And I can appreciate that. And that's exactly like the main quality that's important in a housewife. I think we can pick apart some of the other things, but they have to kind of live in the person they are, and sometimes most of the time that ends up being a monster, but I am okay with watching monsters.
Me too. I mean, I think what she is she's authentic in her inauthenticity, and I totally see that, because it's not that she's like not owning it, it's that she's delusional about what reality is, or she's just wants to make people think like, okay, saying middle class people have $60,000. No, No.
No, it's also out of touch.
That's actually insane. Yeah. Like, to even consider that to be possible is just, I don't even understand that. I can't understand, because it's not like she was born of a billionaire, you know?
Well, yeah. And also, it makes me question so much about
how she keeps, like,
what's going
60,
on with 000. Their finances? Like, how do they have so much money? Because I don't know. Maybe I didn't realize Vita Tequila was so popular, but I guess maybe it is or something.
That,
I don't know.
That's exactly what I'm getting at, is it doesn't make any sense, because even if only someone who was like born so, so, so rich that they've never had to think about what they spend ever could be Lisa Barlow at age 40 something and saying a middle class person has a $60,000 ring. It's like, so I'm just thinking, I'm like, you know that that's not true. Like, you went to, did she go to college? She like lived a normal life. So I'm like, there's no point at which you got so rich that you lost sight of that. And also, it just doesn't make any sense. And also, her ring is $60,000. Her glam is $60,000. I don't
get insurance fraud.
Something's not making sense. Yeah. $60,000 even? Like, what? That's never.
No, I said insurance fraud. I don't really know that I mean that. I don't know that I don't. But it's interesting. The $60,000 thing is so, it's weird that it lines up. What I find so fascinating with all the housewives is like a lot of them, especially in those early seasons, if Lisa's been paying $60,000 for glam, like they're losing money oftentimes being on a TV show. And like that psychologically is like fucking nuts that people are joining a TV show. And I know it leads to other branding opportunities and all that stuff, but it is fucking wild to, and also not good business sense. I'm not saying her specifically, but I think within the realm of housewives, a lot of them have probably overspent so that they could keep up with glam and appearances. And I mean, we see Monica crying about buying a $5,000 bag, but I think more often than not, a lot of these people end up losing money, at least those first couple of seasons, to do a TV show. And it makes no business sense. Like if I would be like, well, you can't, that doesn't make any sense for you to do that show. And it could all end, and then you're still overspending to try to keep up with the appearance of being a former housewife. So it's like, none of it makes much financial sense, but
it's funny you're bringing that up, because I was literally thinking that last night. I was thinking about Meredith and the renting. Like, she must have rented a house like that was way nicer than the house she would need to live in so that she could portray herself as this person with this brand and this store. Have you ever been to Park City and been into her store?
I haven't been to her store. I did a live show. I was on tour earlier this year, and I got to do a show in Salt Lake, but that was my first time there.
Okay, so I've been into her store, and I would not given any credence to what Angie said to her at the dinner about the like dusty jewelry if that were not actually kind of an accurate interpretation of that. Was like my reaction to the store, and Aileen and Jordana, I went with them, if they were here, they would say the same thing. Like,
wait, is it all jewelry?
It's not all jewelry. There were like Brooks Marks tracksuits, and there's like a few other things. It just didn't feel like, does anyone buy any, have they ever? So the dusty jewelry comment was very, oh, you see. And that's when she flipped out. So that's why I was like, oh, like that really hit a nerve. Something's going on there. Meredith has doing voices. She's always been a shapeshifter to me, but now she's also a vocal shifter. I can't see what she looks like. Like it's,
oh, sure. Like if you were to close your eyes and just listen to the episode, you would literally think there were 20 people talking at once, because you're like, what are all these different voices? She's doing a SNL character reel. Like it's so many different voices. And I love it. I love it. It's crazy. It's all of it keeps you on your toes. You're just like, I don't know what's going to come out next. I think it's the best show on TV. I think it's crazy. But it's my favorite show to sit down and watch. I'm like, I don't know what I'm in for. It's like a group of women sitting at a drag queen's motel grounds. There's nothing better. They need to send all the cast to Trixie Motel. Like, I think it's brilliant.
They should send Roni to Trixie Motel. But it's also funny because like Lisa, if she had just like done her own fucking makeup and put on a wig, or not even put on, just she should have put on a wig. It would have helped. No one would have thought anything about what she looks like, about her skin. They would have just thought,
also, by the way, I think the heavy makeup will make help you cover up your flaws or whatever. And
right.
So it's like, oh, it is wearing a costume. But I actually was kind of on her side. I'm not someone who likes to dress up for parties at all. I hate a costume party. So I was on Lisa's side for that.
I felt that way too, in terms of like, no, she shouldn't have to do it. But I think she, by doing what she did, she now called attention to everything she didn't sure. want to call attention to. And she could have just played it like Meredith, where she was like, I'm here. Yeah. This is my interpretation of
Meredith had some light rouge on and a faint cat eye. Like that was it.
Yeah.
It was enough.
It was fine. One more Bravo couple I want to talk about, because I want to talk about couples for the rest of this episode. We are in the year of divorce, but the summer of weird couple situations.
Cuffing season. Are we entering cuffing season? Is that why?
I think, you know, it's almost October. I think we're almost there. I think we're getting there.
Slow launch of cuffing season.
PR cuffing season. You know, it's professional cuffing season. But okay, so one more on Bravo. Are you like a summer house? You know, what are you thinking? I mean, I know you're a summer house person. What are you thinking about Lindsay and Carl? And do you think public opinion might turn around on Carl? What's your prediction or just kind of perception of that?
You know, this is probably not popular. I have never liked Carl.
And I know. He's terrible.
I'm sorry to say that. I know people like him, but I just don't care for that man. And one thing I've learned over the years recapping all the Bravo, it's like never good to put your weight behind any of the men on Bravo, because they always end up disappointing us. And so I will be Team Lindsay. And I love her as a TV character, as well as I've never met her, but I do love Lindsay. So I'm on Lindsay's side with this, and I don't know how it's going to play out. From what I read, and I think Carl did it on camera, and I think that's really shitty, even though as an audience member, there's always two versions of it. Like, as an audience member, yeah, I'm very excited, and yes, you should do that. You're on a reality TV show, get it. But as a person in real life, like, I feel like, oh, that's kind of shitty.
Especially because they were best friends, supposedly. I completely agree with you, Carl. I do think that he had a glimmer of hope, a window in which he could have actually followed through on the person he wanted to say that he was being. But he, for whatever reason, I understand mental health is like really very, very tough. And like, I don't think he should have necessarily been in this relationship at that like really traumatic time for him. But I agree with you. Like, Carl has always been a total dick to women in just inexcusable ways. Like, even the way he was to Lindsay was just so abhorrent. Like, it was so mean. And I think she's lucky that she's getting away from him now. I feel really, really bad for her how it happened. But there is part of me that's like, I want to see what happened. And I want to know about why he called the cameras back. Like, would he have been in trouble if he didn't?
I think they all want to have their Scandoval moment. I think
you think it was that, because they got like demoted to a friend of, and we're going to not have as much money.
Maybe this is me being crazy again, but I do think everyone saw the Scandoval and how much money it brought in and how it extended the shelf life of these people on the shows. And so the cynical part of me does say, like, I think they all kind of perked up a little bit. Everybody on the whole fucking network, and as they should, it makes business sense. But it's like, it is kind of fucked up when you think about it. But that's my theory. I don't know that that's for real. And I do want everything good for Carl. And he does seem to me, at least when we've seen him on the show, that he is going through a lot. So I think it is good that maybe he is single for a while and figures his stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could. I totally agree. I think there was more incentive for him to just call the cameras. Also, he probably wanted like proof of what happened, so that when he did have to like answer to the show in the inevitable reunion, he would have an answer. Like, are they going to have a reunion now? Like, what's going to happen with that?
They'll be at the reunion probably, right? Yeah.
I'm very excited to see what happens with that.
I always think the summer house reunions are a little boring. Like, I'm not into for some reason, they sort of bore me.
I don't think they need to be three parts.
You know, I think they're scaling back on them. They just announced Orange County is going to be two parts. I think they're scaling back on the bigger ones. Atlanta was just two parts. And, you know, of course, you could say it's because they've had bad seasons. And I'm sure the cast and the network's really pissed that they're only getting two episodes out of it. But it seems like it's happening more and more with the two episode reunion thing.
I think that's a good thing. I think that they sense that people get frustrated when you drag things out And
we can tell. You mentioned at the top of the show with ABC, and that's one of the few reasons, aside from me not having enough time to really consume like the world of The Bachelor, I feel like they take advantage of their viewers because they stretch everything out so much. And I don't appreciate that. And one of the things I like about Bravo is they do those supersized episodes, but they don't often just drag something into 2-hour territory. I mean, I can't even remember the last time they've stretched, they'll do it to be continued, but they don't do just like 2-hour episodes. And I like that because I feel when I'm watching ABC sometimes, it's like, you guys are taking advantage of our time.
I completely agree with you. That's why I stopped watching The Bachelor, although I'm going to watch The Golden Bachelor because I'm extremely curious about that. That, I think, is like a renaissance of amazing, epic proportions. But I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you. I hate feeling like you're taking advantage of my time. It's like, under promise and over deliver, please. That's what I want.
Leave us wanting more. I'd much rather come on here and say like, God, I wish that was 2 hours, or I wish that was 3 parts, rather than seeing something that's 3 parts and being like, wow, that there were 2 parts that didn't have nothing in them. And looking even at Roni, the new Roni is going to be 2 parts. And if that would have been, that should really only be 1 part, and not as, I don't mean that as shade to them, but there's just really not much that happened in the season that we're going to need to reunite to talk about. Maybe I'm wrong and there's something that producers know that we don't, but it's like, don't stretch it out. And then I'm going to be like, oh, that was so long. What did we learn?
Right. Like I'd be surprised if they're able to make a good 2 hours, but I think they can make a good 1 hour.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable, and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Okay, let's move on to the rest of professional cuffing season. We are heavy in it. Have you been watching Kylie and Timothée and their just whatever it is they're doing? I at first thought that this was like not real at all, but now I'm like, this is kind of cute. I kind of see it. I think maybe if it was professional, it grew into something real, and I like it.
I love that you said if it was professional, maybe it grew into something real. Tale as old as time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not as into Kylie, and I'm not as into this coupling. I don't know. I just don't feel a spark with it. I just, when I see pictures, when I'm not getting much spark.
What we've said on this podcast is that it feels very much like, you know, it's like a high school senior girl dating a junior boy. It's very high school love. It's very we're together because it just, it's working and there's an attraction, but there's not a compatibility, which is very, very high school.
Yeah, I think it'll fizzle out. I'm happy for them, but I don't know that I see it long term. I think this is a short term thing, and I don't know if it'll play out on the show. I haven't watched the premiere yet of Kardashians, but I'm curious if it's addressed at all. And sometimes they don't even address any of the stuff that's happening outside of the show, which is annoying.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I'm actually excited to watch the new Kardashians because I like the last one. I think they've actually made it a better show. But I agree. I don't like how they don't address certain things. But then again, it's kind of delayed. Either way, Kylie and Timothée are touching fingers.
Oh, I saw that dramatic photo of like their fingers just locking.
Like the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I mean, that for some reason felt more like, oh, like you're, I don't know. I don't see a purely PR relationship touching fingers
you
like
see
that.
You see a little spark in the more recent times.
Yeah, like maybe they've, you know, I could see maybe they started to like enjoy each other in a kind of fun way. I just can't imagine what Kylie, what does she talk about?
I think they're both gorgeous people, but I just don't feel like a sexual energy between them. Not that I need to or anything, but I don't feel that. I feel like, yeah, you're right. They probably do get along as friends. I'm just not feeling the chemistry.
Yeah, it's friends with benefits vibes. The other couple that I don't feel any chemistry between, but we need to discuss them, Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater, they were spotted on a date at Disneyland. To me, that feels very, they're very Disney adults. So what's your take on their little relation?
Well, I love her. I mean, this is an overall problem with pop culture, though. Any sort of coupledoms, we talk about chemistry and it's like, I just don't know that a lot, I'm not seeing a lot of chemistry, whether it be in these real life couples or on television, scripted or otherwise. This is another situation where I just don't feel it. Like, we need to do chemistry tests. Whether it, if this is going to be a PR relationship, I'm going to need them to chemistry test the people because I'm not getting it. I am getting a little chemistry from Travis and Taylor. I do feel like a little chemistry there.
Yeah, I feel a real flirtation. I feel like two very confident. We're gonna do a whole thing on them.
I know. Wait, am I crazy about Ariana though? Do you feel a spark?
No, I don't feel any spark. Yeah, but I do feel two people who were bored enough to want to get into an affair and now are stuck with each other for at least the time being. And the only reason I think, oh, this is real is because who the hell would screw up their lives so for something not real? And I feel that they're probably like, we might as well make the best of it so it doesn't seem like a total waste.
Wait, Sammy, I have a question. This might be stupid, but is he in the new Wicked movie that she's doing?
Yeah, he's Bach. He's like a
oh my
troll
gosh. Okay, wait. Yeah, okay. I remember reading that. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of my.
Oh, I can't wait for that press tour.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, darling. 2.0.
Okay, that'll be a good press tour, I think.
Yeah. Press tours.
And we'll be exhausted by it, but it'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch the shit out of that press tour. I wish there was like a live cam on those instead of having to like wait for the photos. And, you know, I wish there was kind of like a, we could see every moment.
Look, you mentioned Don't Worry, Darling too. And I think a lot of places probably realize that's the best marketing. And I'm not saying that this is a marketing relationship because I don't think those two would have completely blown up their lives for the Wicked movie, which is going to gross $1 billion anyway. But, and I do have problems with them splitting it into two movies, which is a tale for another time, but I do have a problem with that. And
yes,
somebody's going to pay
problem
for those crimes because it's not okay. And it doesn't need to be two movies.
That's insane to me. I will, I'm pissed about that. I forgot about that, honestly.
I'm here to remind you, Sammy. It's unacceptable and I will not stand for it.
That is some ABC,
but I will watch them both.
ABC bullshit.
I will be first in line for both parts. However, I think it's disgusting.
Is that not just the motto of everything? Yeah, I totally agree with you that this can't be PR, no, but I agree. No, no chemistry. Do you remember, I want to say in like 2002, there were websites where you could like type in your name and like the name of your crush and it would give you like a percentage?
Yes.
Okay. We should have that for the celebrities.
We used to have this thing. I remember in middle school too, where you'd fill out a questionnaire and then it would match you percentage wise with other classmates. They didn't have a gay option, so I was fucked because it was like just matching me with other girls. And I was like, I'm not interested. You're definitely like, the percentages are way off here. Yeah, it was. Well, I forget even what it was called, but we did it a couple years in a row in middle school, maybe even like ninth grade or something.
Oh, like in your actual school.
In the actual school, you would fill it out. It was around Valentine's Day, and then you would get it in the mail somehow at lunchtime. They would pass out your results, and it would say like, Danny's percentage match with, I don't know, Sally, or I didn't know a Sally, but you know, a Sally, 89% match.
Wow, that is, okay, first of all, that is very aggressive of your school. I mean, they're pushing a heterosexual agenda very hard, clearly. And I mean, okay, what I was referring to is those websites that like are just kind of random, but that is so, so messy.
You're younger than me, Sammy. You're younger than me. So, and honestly, I think that's probably the problem with all these couples in the chemistry is because the younger people were raised with people who had no chemistry in movies. I think if more people were raised watching Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, then they would know what chemistry is.
They would be able to spot a PR couple when they see one.
Trickles down.
Okay, so let's talk. We're getting to the holy grail of
what have we been doing, Sammy?
Let's about, you know, about the holy grail of professional, maybe personal couples. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelsey. Okay, so chemistry, I see it. I definitely see a spark. I see like a, that's hot. What do you think of the whole thing?
Well, I'm happy for her. I've recently became like a big Swiftie. I mean, I always sort of liked her and her music.
Right now.
Yeah, I love it. I went to the Eras tour, and my significant other is like became a much bigger Swiftie than, and he sort of forced me into it. But now I'm fully there. I'm happy. I'm happy. How vulgar can I be on here?
Incredibly.
I like really want her to get some good. I want her to get fucked good by this guy because that's how, when I look at him, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the kind of guy who, you, that's what you.
You could.
He's
you want
probably
that.
Good at that.
Yeah. Especially after Joe Alwyn, who was probably more of a lovemaker, if anything.
Yeah. Like I feel happy when I see these celebrities who it's like, yeah, just get boned. Remember back in the day when Britney Spears and Colin Farrell had like a little fling?
Oh, I mean, that just kind of reminded me. Yeah.
It was, but I remember looking at them even at a young age and being like, oh yeah, he's the kind of guy that like, yeah, like everyone should have a go at a couple times.
Right.
Good for, yeah. And
right. Like you deserve that on a, you know, as it's like a vacation. You should go on vacation to.
Like she's worked hard. She's got all them people signed up to vote. She's been on this worldwide tour that's like insanity. I mean, she played, I think, 5 nights in California in a row and like sold out.
I went
out
to one of them. So good.
The SoFi Stadium that she sold out every single one of those nights. And it's a humongous venue. I was looking around. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, this is a lot of people. So anyway, the point is she's tired and she deserves to get some good sex. So I'm proud of that.
I totally agree with you.
I also just have to shout out. He's from Northeast Ohio, too. So I'm from Northeast Ohio. So I have to have like a connection with him in that way. And he's a Libra. He was born in October. So I just feel spiritually connected with him. Anyway.
Oh, I like that. When's your birthday?
I'm October 9th.
Oh, so my husband's a Libra, so I feel spiritually connected to all of you as well. So, apparently his birthday is the same day as her grandmother, Marjorie, who she has the song on the Eras tour, Marjorie, and he was born in 1989. I don't know. There's a lot of very lovely mythical connections. I think it's lovely. And he doesn't seem, I mean, people do have some things to say about him that are not the most flattering, but I don't know if it's.
Wait, what are the things? Because I haven't really like done my research.
I've heard, I don't want to, there's I mean, so allegations of cheating and speculation about his sexuality. So there's like Gaylors for Travis. It's kind of so it's an interesting, people have said like, oh, Taylor's not his type, but like, who cares? Like, she's Taylor fucking Swift. Like, who cares?
Hasn't he always been like saying I have a crush on Taylor Swift or something?
I don't think he always said it. He went to her show at Arrowhead and he like made a friendship bracelet with his number on it. And then he said on his show that he was, quote, butthurt, like that he didn't get to meet her. And I don't know. There are just a bunch of circumstances that make me feel like, even if, again, it crosses the line between like personal and professional. And I think that when you're a public figure like them and you're really at the top of your game and you have the most savvy people working on your career and guiding it, I think that it's almost impossible to be, to even have a purely personal relationship unless you do it entirely behind the scenes and you keep it that way until there's like a commitment. So my feeling is sort of just like, there are parts that are real, but there are parts that are professionally beneficial and or professionally caused, and you kind of can't differentiate them because except in retrospect, kind of. And that's what makes it hard for me to be like, I don't know, it just seems very convenient. And the NFL changing their bio to like put her in it. It all just feels like she just rejected the Super Bowl.
We're also cynical now.
But we're not cynical without a reason.
We're smart and we're, I actually, maybe that's the wrong word. We're savvier media consumers than we were 10 years ago, I think. All of us.
I don't think all of us. Because my husband, for example, is like, Taylor and Travis. Like he's really like, and Niamh's like, this could be fake. And he's like, no. What are you talking about? I'm like, and he freaked out. He was like and then he comes back in 10 minutes later and he's like, wait, like it could be fake. You're serious.
We all believe what we want to believe in the moment. And so sometimes our reasoning doesn't make sense. He has a love for Travis, it seems.
No,
so,
he doesn't. He thinks he doesn't like Travis. And just ironically, my father-in-law, like, shunned a friend over the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a Patriots fan. It's all, I don't know. It's also stupid, but there's some very serious feelings from his side of the family.
Interesting.
On football, less him. Look, he doesn't care, but like, he was just like, I think he's obnoxious.
I would never want any of my friends to date a professional athlete. Like,
same.
I don't think it makes sense. Now, going back to what I said earlier, like, yeah, getting boned by a professional athlete, like I fully endorse, like, as long as you want, like, keep doing it, whether it be all winter, falls, into the spring, throughout the summer, like, you get boned as much as you need to from a professional athlete.
Oh, I agree. This is not a situation where I'm like, oh, she should stay away from him, because even the, like, bad stuff about him is not bad compared to so many other people, like Maddie Healy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy for her. I hope she's happy with however it is. I hope that they both get a lovely, beautiful, mutually beneficial situation from it. And I support.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
The footage of her at the game with his mom was cracking me up because I know an Ohio mother. Like, I don't know if she still lives in Ohio, but I know a Midwest mom when I see one. And that's my favorite kind of person to talk to, by the way. But I was just thinking, like, yeah, that's felt right to me. Like, even more so than her and Travis together. It was like, yeah, her hanging out with the Midwest mom feels so right.
I literally felt the same way. I was like, this is the relationship I'm watching.
Yeah, like, that's the one we're shipping.
Yeah. It felt like she would just be such a good person to bring home to his mom, whether or not they actually have compatibility.
Are you good with parents?
It depends on the parent, honestly. Like, it really depends on the parent. Like, I'm good with parents who can hang, but with parents who can't hang, I'm like so awkward, and I like don't like everything I know goes out the window of like how to speak and how to. So it's kind of like if I can be comfortable enough to not be intimidated by their, you know, when they sort of like invoke authority just by existing because they're a parent of whatever. That I'm like, a cower. But with just regular people, what about you? I could see you being amazing with parents.
I'm really good with a mom. I mean, I consider wherever I'm at, home base is always the oldest woman in the room. So it's like, that's who I'm going to buddy up
Me
with.
Me too.
So I'm good with like a mom, a grandma, whoever the oldest lady in the room is. Like, that's where I'll be best at. And then, yeah, with men, you know, it's hard. My significant other doesn't have a relationship with his dad. So I never had that situation, but and I think with gay people they tend to have. I have a good relationship with my dad, but I notice most gay people or previous men I've dated, they don't really have much of a relationship with their dads.
That makes sense, but honestly, like the mothers are the moms Love are the them. Ones who you wanna who you yeah. wanna win over. They're the ones who push the human out of their body. So there's just like a, you know, and
they have the most interesting stories. Older women are so much more interesting than anybody else. Like, they have been through it all and they haven't shared their stories 100 times with a million fucking people. So they always have the most interesting things to say.
I completely agree with you. I have always, I mean, this is more like normal now, but like when I was in like high school, like my favorite actress was like Meryl Streep and like Helen Mirren and like all these like older people, and like everyone just kind of, you know, Kate Blanchett's not old, but she is like emotionally old, yeah. You know, and like it was kind of like a joke, like that, you know, you like all these like older women. I'm like, yeah, like they're such bosses. Like, I want to be an older woman. I can't wait.
I get it. As a kid, I was running around like trying to talk to my friends about Bonnie Hunt and they're like, what?
Who?
And I'm like, you guys, she's brilliant. I'm like, she's written and created her own shows. And I'm going on and on, but, yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah,
I mean, so much more interesting.
So much more interesting than, yeah, like the kind of like Instagram thought model type thing. I'm like, I'm just less interested. Like, I'm less interested in the Kylies of the world than I am in, like, oh, yeah. Just
on the Kardashians. Like, whenever they're showing Chris's mom, it's like, that's when I'm most tuned in. I'm like, let's see what's going on with her.
Right. They also just have like a funny wit. They have like a different pattern of talking, I think, from being older. So it's a break from what we have going on.
Well, and I think in general, this is a larger issue, but men tend to tell their stories more, even in conversation with people, because they're so used to telling their stories. And so, even outside of celebrity, I think the older women aren't asked as much about their youth and their growing up and all of that kind of stuff. And so anyway, I don't know, that's a large...
I think that's... Honestly, it's very interesting that you're saying this, because like my husband loves to tell stories about his life.
Yeah,
and,
men do.
And
yeah.
I'm like, I don't ever tell stories. I don't care. Like, they're all just like in there and like they get synthesized into my like broader worldview, which I'll share. But like, I don't care about to share stories of my, because they're just not that interesting, or like the things that he shares as stories are like not, I wouldn't consider them interesting enough to share about me. And maybe it's that like men sort of assume that their stories, it's almost like you have to have an innate assumption that you will have to share a story, or that one will care one day to hear your story, to kind of catalog it in that way. And I think that that's probably what I don't have.
Kathy Lee Gifford says everyone has a story and I need to hear them all.
Okay, well, now I'm going to be saving them up so that when I'm old, I'll have some good shit to say. And hopefully by then everyone will want to listen.
But Sammy, I know you got good shit to say now, but it goes back to like that thing we said earlier when we first started recording of not feeling comfortable like promoting things. But then don't you sometimes see these other male podcasters who don't have that?
Oh, no, they think everything they say is a brilliant nugget of gold when it's really just a brilliant nugget of shit that they recycled from someone else, that someone else fucking said it in 1920. So that's my feeling on those things. Two more things, podcast related business.
Now that we talked about the patriarchy, let's get into
we can talk about the patriarchy. We are almost at the end of our show. One thing I do want to say for the listeners is, because there has been so much Taylor Swift news and we did not even get to hardly cover all of the details, Holly and I are doing a quick bonus episode updating you all about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and everything that's going on in her life regarding Sophie Turner, 1989 stuff coming out.
Oh, yeah, Sammy. Okay, I need to listen to that because I need you to break down all this Sophie stuff because I'm loosely familiar, but...
Okay, we're going to put out a bonus episode tomorrow. It'll come out after your episode, so just do a little quickie refresh and it'll be there and we will include everything for you. We will have the full breakdown. Okay, last thing we do on the show every week, I'll explain the basis for it. Do you remember when Armie Hammer was kind of shunned and he had to go sell timeshares in the Cayman Islands?
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Good. Okay. So since then, we've been sending a celebrity to someone who we talked about on the show to the Cayman Islands to sell timeshares. They have to fly Delta Comfort Plus, and that is their punishment for how they behaved that week. So is there anyone from that we were talking about who you think should be sent to the Cayman Islands to sell timeshares?
Kyle and Mauricio, I think.
Okay. I think they, you know, he's good at selling. He's good at selling. My person would be Lisa Barlow. And I think maybe we could send them all together.
I'm sure she's got some bank accounts over there at the
Cayman. You know, maybe she could
That's a joke. I'm kidding.
No, maybe she could take, her $60,000 ring, put it in a little vault in the Caymans. I'm sure.
I feel bad. Don't yell at me that I said it's insurance fraud.
Oh, no, no, no.
Because I was just joking.
Yeah, no. Obviously, no, we're totally allegedly. Okay.
Everything's alleged. I don't fucking know anything.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I love Lisa Barlow.
If I'm the Housewives FBI agent, they're the next family on my list.
Oh, I am looking at the whole Salt Lake City cast if I am working for the government after what happened with Jen Shah. It's like there were too many things. And I feel crazy, Sammy, with Salt Lake City Housewives, because now I feel like everybody is like, oh, yeah, of course Jen Shah punched Heather Gay in the face. And of course, we're like learning all these new things and how Jen had manipulated these friends and they were like, Monica worked for her and all these people were working for her. I'm like, what the fuck was going on there? And it was all in front of her face. And I feel like now I'm feeling crazy because everyone's just like acting like it was all in front of our face the whole time. And I'm like, well, why was it in front of her face? How did I miss it? Or what? I don't know. I feel crazy.
It was not all in front of our faces. Neither was the Heather said last night that we've destroyed marriages. We've sent people to jail. Whose marriage did they destroy? Who went? Who's divorced? None of them are divorced. Was it?
I think Salt Lake has a lot of secrets that we are going to, that will trickle out over the next 20 years.
My kind of last remaining question is on Meredith and Seth, because those two don't seem chemistry test 0%. So I don't know what's going on.
I feel better about them now. I think now they have a little more chemistry than at least I noticed in prior seasons.
And
it's because I'm like, this is sick of me. And I'm glad this is coming up at the end of your show, but I'm sort of attracted to Seth Marks and I'm not proud of that.
You have a similar energy. Maybe it's just over the video. I don't know anything about like height kind of thing, but I kind of see it, you know?
Oh my gosh.
He's,
I think he might've lived in Ohio or from there or something. So probably I keep bringing up Ohio, but I think there might be a Midwest connection.
I mean, Ohio is, what was it? The bellwether? It's the bellwether state. So both for Housewives and politics.
I was just going to say Ohio is for lovers, but that's not it. What's the place for lovers? Is that New York?
Isn't that Paris? No.
Isn't that a tagline? Am I making that up?
I thought Sunday is for lovers. Sunday? Oh. No?
I need to go up to the Home Goods and figure it out. I'm sure one of the products there, it'll tell me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, yeah, no. Seth and Meredith, we will continue on Seth and Meredith Watch. We are sending Lisa Barlow, Mauricio, and Kyle together to the Cayman Islands to sell timeshares and open their bank accounts. Danny, this has been such a pleasure. I love chatting with you about this. Please come back anytime. And everyone, please order Danny's book. It is coming out October 24th.
Thank you so much, Sammy.
Pre-order it now. It's going to be amazing. I will do your promo for you because I am so excited to read it. And I know it's going to be a good one.
Thank you, Sammy. And come see me. I'm going to be on tour. You can get tickets at everythingiconic.com. At the top of the page, there's a ticket link. But some of the cities are sold out, but there's still tickets for Nashville, Cleveland, and I believe a few for San Francisco. And then I'll be in Las Vegas and Los Angeles for book signings. So go to the website and come see me if you can.
Danny, Around America, are you going to be in New York?
I will be, yeah. I'll be at the Gramercy Theater. I forget what day, but mid to end of October.
Okay, I hope it's not sold out because I'll check it out.
It is sold out, but please, yeah. I'll get you a ticket if you need a ticket.
Oh, thank please you. Come. I do really want to come. Okay, so everyone check out Danny's book and leave us a rating, a review, and let us know what you want us to talk about on the next App Betches. And thank you.
App Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Picot, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow App Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.